What is up, everybody? Welcome to From Genesis to Giraffes, the podcast where we discuss animals and the Bible from the perspective of a former zookeeper. Yours truly, me, Tyler Sinchcomb. I've been a zookeeper for 5 years, got my bachelor's in zoology and a master's in biology, and I love to talk about the Bible and animals. And here is where I do both. Now, on to the episode. All right, everyone. I am really, really excited for this episode. Might be the most excited I've been for an episode. And that is because it is one of my favorite animals. Top 10 favorite animal. And is definitely my favorite farm animal, if you don't count a dog as a farm animal. And it's the donkey. So the donkey has been mentioned in the Bible over 140 times, depending on the translation. It kind of differs between the translations, but we're going to go with 140 because that's awesome. There are plenty of animals that have been named more, but not a ton, right? The donkey is one of the most common animals in the Bible. And which is awesome because they deserve it. They're amazing. And I'm really excited to talk to you guys about them, why I like them so much, and just what the Bible has to say. So with these animals that have so many verses and mentions in the Bible, I'm going to just be picking and choosing. I can't possibly talk about every single time a donkey was mentioned. Right now, off the top, I am going to cover about like 15 of the major moments where a donkey is mentioned, what I think is the 15. And then later on, after we talk about the zoology aspects of the donkey, I'll get into a little bit more of like the big stories, like the top three major stories where a donkey is really like important in the story. But for the most part, I mean, donkeys are mentioned so much in the Bible, so it's really hard to cover everything. But let's start with the Old Testament. So I've got 11 mentions here. So the first one is in Genesis 22:3. Donkey was mentioned where Abraham rides a donkey and for Isaac's sacrifice. So that's important. That's one of the first major stories or events in the Bible. And the donkey just quietly carries the supplies for one of the Bible's most, profound events. Later on, Jacob sends donkeys carrying gifts to Esau. That's in Genesis 32. And then Joseph's brothers, they use donkeys in Genesis 42 through 45. Later, we're going to talk about Balaam's donkey, which speaks to him. And that is in Numbers 22. Then in Exodus 23 and in Deuteronomy 22, the law actually talks about caring for donkeys, which is one of the parts I love about the Bible, of really taking care of animals in general. Samson kills 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone in Judges 15. And then in 1 Samuel 9, Saul searches for lost donkeys and then is chosen king. So kind of cool that Israel's like first king begins the story searching for his father's lost donkeys. And then in the same 1 Samuel 25, Abigail rides a donkey to meet David. Then 2 Samuel 13, David's sons ride donkeys. And then in 2 Samuel 17, I can never pronounce his name. Ahithophel, he also rides a donkey before his death. And then in Zechariah, there is a prophecy of the Messiah riding a donkey. So now into the New Testament, I've got just four big ones here. So Mary rides a donkey. Well, okay, this is so arguable. I guess it's traditional she rides. I don't actually, all of my research, it's actually not in the Bible, but I wanted to mention it here because most of the nativity scenes have her riding a donkey, but I'll probably have to get into that more, depending what research you do. she probably wasn't riding a donkey, but traditionally, right, it says that she was riding a donkey. And we can get into that. But specifically mentioned is in Luke 10:34, where Jesus talks about the story of the Good Samaritan. He places the injured man on a donkey. And then Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem, and we are definitely talking about that. That's in Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, and John 12. So all the Gospels mention that. And that just fulfills the Gospels in or fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, and just that's emphasized in all four of the Gospels. So that, okay, that's really not four in the New Testament that I just covered right then, but is what it is. All right, let's talk about the donkey. Okay, the donkey, let's get into my favorite segment, is taxonomy. That's right, I'm going to be doing more and more taxonomy because I love it. All right, let's run through everything just so everyone is familiar, right? Your taxonomy classes or levels are your kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. I said that too fast. Let me slow it down. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. I mentioned before how in scientific literature it is written out is with the genus species, and the genus is first, and then the second word is the species. And let's go with the donkey. So kingdom is Animalia, familiar, right? Because that's, we're also in that. Phylum is Chordata, also we are also in that. Class is Mammalia. We are also in Mammalia. And then order is where it starts to differ. That's Perissodactyla. That is your odd-toed ungulates. Sorry. And then your family is Equidae. And genus is Equus. And species is Equus asinus, which is the domestic donkey. There's also Equus africanus asinus, which is a subspecies of the African wild ass, Equus africanus. So we're going to go with Equus asinus for our animal that we're highlighting, which is just the domestic donkey. So some characteristics about donkeys. They are really strong. Like, they're way stronger than a horse of the same size. And they're known for that. They're known for their strength. They're known for their endurance. They're known for their intelligence and their memory. They are highly intelligent. I argue they're way smarter than horses. They're very curious animals with a, like, remarkable memory. They're able to remember places, other donkeys, other people, people they haven't seen for, like, 25 years. And they're very social. Sometimes they don't act like it, but that's just their intelligence. They're very social. And one of my favorite things about donkeys is they're very adaptable. So they're descended from the African wild ass, and they are well adapted to arid environments and can really navigate like real difficult terrain. They're really common in the Grand Canyon of people riding donkeys on really difficult terrain. That is one of my dreams, to ride a donkey down the Grand Canyon. And so, like I said just a minute ago, they're adapted to desert lands. So they have a loud call or a bray of the donkey, and it, I don't know, lasts for a long time. Some research I did says it lasts for about 20 seconds. And this is important when you're living in a desert to have a call like that. And they can be, when you're a social animal, if you get lost or trying to find someone, they can be heard over like 5 miles. So that's how donkeys can keep in contact with one another. They also have really large ears, and that can pick up a lot of sounds and can also help cool the donkey. A lot of animals do that with large appendages. They use those for cooling. And donkeys can also defend themselves. So they can defend themselves by biting, striking with their front hooves, or kicking with the hind legs. And yeah, they can be aggressive. They are a lot of times used as guard guard animals, especially in farms, because they have such a strong desire to protect the herd and to be with the herd. And once you get them established with the herd, they will go all out for protection. And their hee-haw is their bray, or the hee-haw, is very loud, that can alert farmers and whatnot. They they're used a lot in Western culture to protect goats and sheep, and they also have an innate knowledge of canines, and which can be hard for people to get them used to their own domestic pets and dogs, but they know to be scared and to be aggressive towards canines and to be aggressive towards wolves and coyotes. So that's like in them. So that's nothing you can teach. Like, donkeys know that. They know to hate canines. Just something about that. They do. So one thing that's kind of fun about donkeys that I can talk about, because I don't think I mentioned it before in the podcast, but it's the Flemming response. So I think it's the first animal that can do the Flemming response, and not every animal can. It's usually like mammals, mostly felids and ungulates, and it's the behavior is basically the transfer of pheromones and other scents that goes into what's called the Jacobson's organ, which is famous for snakes. Snakes all have a Jacobson organ when they're flicking their tongue. That is them bringing in pheromones into and reading it through the Jacobson's organ. So it also has a different name. It's like it starts with a V, vo something organ. But I always just go with the Jacobson's organ. It's the same thing. It's easier to remember. And these are located above the roof of the mouth via like a tube or duct that exits just behind usually the front teeth of the animal. And the term Flemming actually comes from a German word, which means to bare the upper teeth, and also like to look spiteful. And so that was used starting in like a German zoo, because they started to see this behavior a lot more from big cats. And now it's been noted in really ungulates, horses, elk, tapir, lots of any hoofed animal really can do this behavior, especially donkeys. They lift their lip up. And so why do they do this? What do they do? Well, I'll explain why they do this. But they do this to help really bring in a smell. And usually they like perform this behavior over a area or substance that they're very interested in. And I've seen this a lot in zoos with animals of the opposite sex. They start smelling someone's butt and then they turn around and do the Flemming response. That just means they're bringing in those pheromones into their Jacobson's organ. It's a goofy smell. Cats, when they do it, looks like they're smiling, kind of. Horses and stuff, they pull their lips up. So if you ever see a donkey do that, that's what it is. So kind of fun to talk about. One other thing about donkeys is, right, their stubborn reputation. So what appears as stubbornness is actually highly developed sense of self-preservation as well. They're reluctant to do something they perceive as unsafe, and they'll often stop to consider a situation before acting. So let me piggyback a little bit more. When I said that they are very protective of the herd, and they're good guard animals, they're not going to put themselves in peril, though. So if it's and again, they're super smart, right? Like, if there's a pack of wolves, a donkey's going to hee-haw and make himself known, but he ain't going to fight off all of them. He's not going to hurt himself. He's not going to put himself in a situation that he's going to get pain. If it's one coyote, some lone wolves, You definitely should bet that a donkey is gonna run at that thing, and will throw a kick at that canine if it has the chance. But it self-preservation is huge for donkeys. Again, they are so smart. They are too smart sometimes. And I got to work with two at my first full-time zookeeping job, and that's where I fell in love with them. There was one named Job, and the other, I am forgetting his name, which is bad, but I believe it was Jester. I think it was Job and Jester. Any keepers that listen to that this podcast, be sure to please remind me of their names. I know they're both still around, which is awesome. But they're just so fun, and I famously do not like hoofed animals. I don't like working with hoofed animals. I don't like how flighty they are, and how skittish they are, and how not very smart they are. And with donkeys, it's the opposite. Like, they are the one, they're the one hoofed animal that's a genius, and it's so fun. They're just so fun to work with because they're smart, because they remember things, because they will test you and are thinking, and they're not skittish, and they're not like working with a zebra or working with a gazelle, but they really feel more primate like kind of, just because they're thinking so much, and they know themselves. They know their limits. I was working with Job, and we're just going to go with Job and Jester. And I'll be like cleaning up a part of their exhibit and turn around, and like Job's right there, and he's just chewing on my basket. And he just likes to be around you, and he'll just kind of follow you around, just wanting some scratches. And they're very curious of what I'm doing and follow me around. And they'll try beating me to putting their hay in. And if I have a bucket of hay that I'm going to place in some of their hay feeders, and then I'm busy cleaning, I'm turning around, and oh, there's Job and Jester. They already beat me to it. They're eating the hay. And they're very playful too. They play with one another. They're just so cute, and I love their little stubby legs, and they're just so smart. And so now every time I go to the zoo, I just love seeing donkeys, and it's so fun to go to different zoos and see donkeys and see the exhibits made for them. And it's just, I love them. I love donkeys. Now let's get back to the Bible. All right, what are some things that we can learn about donkeys? So I'm going to do this episode a little bit different. From I usually read straight up verses and then go into the kind of meanings about it. But I think this episode, I'm going to start with the meanings and kind of discuss a couple of verses that back that up. Because there's so many verses, I just had to kind of pick a couple things I feel like donkeys bring to the Bible and things that back that up. So let's start with the first theme, kind of donkeys, is that they show humility and lowliness. So in the ancient East, right, the kings rode horses for war, and they rode donkeys for peace. So because of this, donkeys symbolize the humility and peace and gentleness. We see this with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. In Zechariah 9:9, it is mentioned that the Messiah will ride on a donkey. And then in Matthew, he does. In all the Gospels, he does. That just symbolizes he comes as a humble, peaceful king, not some military conqueror. And so horses, they're associated with the war, conquest, and military strength. And donkeys are associated with peaceful travel and humility and ordinary king and not a conqueror. And so Jesus, when he enters Jerusalem on a donkey, he's saying, I am a king, but a humble one, not a warlord. This action really announces a kingdom of peace and humility over dominance. I think it was a very deliberate contrast to the current Roman rulers at that time that rode horses for war. And they rode around in the same areas that Jesus rode that donkey. The Romans were riding horses. Another thing that the donkeys are a symbol of is service and work. So donkeys were the primary work animals for just ordinary people. They're used for traveling, hauling goods, and farming. That contrasts again with a horse that's associated with warfare and elites. So some examples is Abraham saddled a donkey for sacrifice in Genesis. Donkeys carry supplies in multiple stories, and they appear in parables showing just the ordinary life. So they're really the animal of the servant. I think donkeys also just represent kind of ordinary people, and they're just the sign that people are just ordinary. They're not royal. They're not wealthy. Because donkeys were for the everyday person back then. So many biblical figures notably had donkeys to show that they weren't wealthy or weren't royal. And that was Abraham, Jacob, Balaam, Saul, David, Abigail, the prophets. Because they were the everyman's animal. The donkey carries the meaning of just simplicity in common life. So again, the highlight, right? Like sheep were the religious animals. Horses are royalty and military animals, and the donkeys, they just belong to everybody. So they are constantly in stories about traveling, family events, daily chores, and conflict resolution, that is. So sometimes in the Bible, donkeys also symbolize their stubbornness. An example of this is Balaam in Numbers 22, right? Balaam's donkey sees the angel when Balaam himself cannot. Which kind of highlights like human blindness versus animal perception, but we're not going to get into too much of that. But Balaam's donkey is one of the most symbolically rich animals in the Bible. So I could read all of Numbers 22. I'm not going to, but the story of, if you're not familiar with this story of the donkey and Balaam, it starts in Numbers 22, 21 through 41. And really here, Balaam is a prophet, a man supposed to hear God, right? But he's spiritually blind and greedy, okay? The donkey sees the angel, tries to save Balaam, speaks only truth, which exposes Balaam's lack of perception. It reverses roles, right? The prophet is blind. The donkey sees. The prophet strikes. He hits the donkey. And the donkey protects. Balaam insists on his own path, but ignores God's warnings. The donkey becomes a mirror exposing Balaam's stubbornness and a symbol of God's mercy, saving him from the angel's sword. There's a little humor in this. I think this scene's kind of intentionally ironic, right? The dumb animal speaks the truth. The wise man acts foolishly. The donkey obeys God and the prophet disobeys. It's a biblical demonstration, really, that God can speak through anything, even a donkey. It's also an example of God's care for animals. God opens the donkey's mouth, but also defends his suffering. He's like, "What have I done to you?" the donkey asks. God acknowledges the donkey's faithfulness and protects him. So, quick story, quick like overview of this story. So, Balaam was one of the noteworthy Old Testament characters who, though not one of God's like chosen people, he was willing to acknowledge the Lord was indeed a powerful God. But he did not believe in the Lord as the only true God. So his whole story in Numbers 22 exposes the deception of kind of maintaining an outward facade of spirituality over corrupt inward life. So this guy was a man ready to obey God's command as long as he could profit from doing so. You see his mixture of motives, obedience, and profit eventually led to Balaam's death. So although he realized the awesome power of Israel's God, his heart was occupied with the wealth he could gain in a sinful nation of Moab. So there he returned to die with the armies of Israel invaded. I didn't get into the origin of the story of where he was going, but he was going to almost accept a bribe, like give a curse against Israel. And ultimately he doesn't, but I want to focus on just this donkey story, right? And so God let Balaam go with the messengers, but he was angry about Balaam's greedy attitude. Okay, Balaam claimed that he would not go against God just for money, but his resolve was beginning to slip. His greed for the wealth offered by the king blinded him so that he could not see how God was trying to stop him. Though we may know what God wants us to do, we can become blinded by the desire for money, possessions, or prestige. We can avoid Balaam's mistake by looking past the allures of fame or fortune to the long-range benefits of following God. So, donkeys, highly dependable, which explains why Balaam was so angry when his donkey refused to move. This donkey saved Balaam's life, but made him look foolish in the process, so Balaam lashed out at this donkey. Kind of like we gotta be careful of lashing out at people in our own embarrassment or hurt with pride. Lastly, about donkeys, they just show God's compassion. Like in Exodus 23, it says, if you see your enemy's donkey in trouble, you must help. And then Deuteronomy 22 and 25, there's rules about protecting the donkey from overwork. I love that the Bible adds this because it just shows that God cares for the vulnerable. He cares for animals, and just showing us to love everyone, even an enemy's property. And it's just really cool that the verses that are mentioned to take care of animals include a donkey. They're basically just about a donkey, but they can be used through any animal. If any animal you own, you need to take care of it. They mentioned donkey because everyone had a donkey, but you got to take care of your animals. I love that. I love that the Bible threw that in there. I never really was aware of that until more recently, and I love it. Because we really should. We should be taking care of all our animals. God literally tells us to. So we should. I think after all this, the biggest takeaways are that donkeys are for everybody. Okay, they were just as a symbol of the ordinary man, and I think that's so important why Jesus rode one. Because kings rode on donkeys for peace, not war. And that's the big representation, is peace. Well, I hope you guys like donkeys a little bit more and learn something. And hopefully, maybe they're not your top 10 favorite animal, but they are mine. All right, well, thank you everybody for giving this episode a listen. I hope you learned something. I hope you gained something from it. And I hope it was just a good time. I just want to shout out Ben Wells for making the music that you're maybe tapping your foot to right now. It's a banger. He did an awesome job. It is the new sound for From Genesis to Giraffe. So thank you, Ben. Really appreciate it, man. Also, just want to remind everybody to write a review for me. That does help the show grow. And also just give it a like or a follow and on whatever site or platform you're using to listen to right now. But everybody have a blessed week. Let's go.